Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
E pluribus unum. That is the traditional motto of the United States of America. It means, out of many, one. Many states united as one nation. In the church, we have a similar principle, one body, many members. There is one church, but many gifts that operate within that church. One of the most divisive topics in modern church culture is the subject of spiritual gifts. This is ironic because all of the instruction about gifts make an appeal for unity. I'm going to read some scripture, and I would like you to put aside your indoctrination, your pre-assumed denominational conclusions, and just listen with an open and honest heart. I've been teaching on this for years, even decades, so I know how difficult that will be. I myself have had to change my position on some of these issues over the years. So I'm going to begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, please allow us to hear your word without prejudice. Holy Spirit, please lead and guide us into all truth as the Savior promised you would. I pray this in his name. Amen. Now, I will read several passages and then come back and comment. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body's parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. However, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, each of us is to use them properly. If prophecy, in proportion to one's faith, in service, in the act of serving, or the one who teaches in the act of teaching, or the one who exhorts in the work of exhortation, the one who gives with generosity, the one who rules with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Love must be free of hypocrisy. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one, and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. And God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. When you assemble, one has a psalm, one has a teaching, one has a revelation, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Three different letters to three different churches in three different cities. Each written by Paul. Each one uses the analogy of one body having many members. All three letters speak of love, grace, faith, and unity. The message is the same to each church. We are one body with many members, each with a different gift. The word prophecy or prophet is the same in each of these letters. The same holds true for teacher or teaching, likewise apostle, and so forth. I can't imagine any person who has no preconceived theology or doctrine reading these passages and coming to any conclusion other than that Paul had the same message for each church. No innocent reader of the Bible would separate these lists for different purposes or definitions. But somehow, in our culture, people have held seminars, sold books, devised tests to determine your gift. We have divided them into separate lists and pushed our agendas. We have been told that the list in 1 Corinthians is about supernatural gifts or the spiritual gifts. The list in Romans is about personalities or motivational gifts. The list in Ephesians is about people who are in charge or the fivefold ministry. We all grow up in different spiritual environments. We are influenced by different denominational and theological perspectives. We have varying levels of education and understanding of language. We are all finite. We are all fallen. We will always have differences. But the fact is, these letters included instruction to try and correct those differences, and we would all benefit by being teachable. After all, the word disciple literally means learner. Another problem is one of cultural peculiarity. We live in a time, especially in America, where we are programmed for commercialism, packaging, and instant results. We love to categorize, put things in boxes, label them, and market them. The early Pentecostal movement came up with 9 spiritual gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12. For years, I was part of a denomination that emphasized these gifts. I sat under teachers who broke it down nice and neat, 3 groups of 3, with clear-cut teaching about how these gifts were to be used. During the charismatic renewal of the 70s, that teaching reached fever pitch. Much of the emphasis was on speaking in tongues, promoted as the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as that phenomenon began spreading through many denominations, even including some Catholic churches. In the 80s, the gifts in Romans 12 were labeled as motivational gifts or personality gifts. It was taught that these were not spiritual gifts, but rather something you were born with. It always bothered me that something that is part of your flesh should be elevated, even encouraged. Are we not to die to the flesh and walk in the Spirit? In the 90s, a teaching that started back in the 1800s was recycled. It is called the fivefold ministry, based on the gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4. These are office gifts to be used to lead the church, ultimately ushering in the second coming of Christ, or so the doctrine proclaimed. I spent time in circles that promoted this teaching, and I noticed 2 consistent patterns. First, there can be a perception of class distinction. That is, the fivefold gifts are elevated and other gifts are of lesser importance. Second is that apostles and prophets got the lion's share of the attention, while evangelists, pastors, and teachers took a back seat. So in many cases, what is being pushed is actually a twofold ministry, apostles and prophets. Gifts should not lead to spiritual pride, nor should other members treat those gifts with celebrity status. I know Paul says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues, which, by the way, would make it the eightfold ministry if you read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 and 28, rather than Ephesians chapter 4. And yes, he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, because the one who prophesies edifies the church. But he also said, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their edification and encouragement and comfort. And he says that others should judge prophecy. So, if someone claims to be a prophet or to be prophesying, and it doesn't build up or encourage or comfort, you have the right to judge it and even the responsibility to reject it. Now, I do agree that some gifts are leadership gifts, given for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. We will come to those gifts later on. I also find it troublesome that so many Christians prefer a book or a workshop that neatly defines things with flowcharts and models, even tests for you to find out what your gift is. Instead of reading the Bible for yourself, praying and seeking God and asking Him to give you what is in the best interest of the church, and using your gifts and letting the body confirm those gifts. One time, a friend of mine told me he was a teacher. This surprised me as I had never heard him teach or seen him active in that role, and we were members of the same church. Why do you think that? I asked. Because, he said, I took a test and it said I was a teacher. That's funny, I said. I thought the evidence that you're a teacher is that people learn from you. He got a puzzled look on his face and said, I never thought of that. Well, I guess you just learned something, I smiled. I have also seen gifts treated like they are from Santa Claus rather than God Almighty. I was in a meeting one time and the people leading the meeting were laying hands on folks and asking each person, what gift do you want? Like they were at a drive-through window at a fast food restaurant. Would you like extra blessing with that? Now, if you haven't turned me off yet, let me reiterate my appeal to read these passages without bias. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, which sandwich chapter 13, which is all about love, Ephesians chapter 4, and Romans chapter 12. It is the same writer with the same motive, using the same example to churches in different cities. Please go back and read them. And even though there have been abuses, don't reject gifts. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are also those who teach that we don't need spiritual gifts today because we have the Bible. They quote 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and 9. If there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. The assumption is that which is perfect refers to the canonization of the New Testament. There are several problems with this reasoning. First, Paul likely had no idea that the New Testament would be canonized centuries later. Actually, the phrase, "that which is perfect," refers to Jesus coming again. And when he does, our knowledge will be made complete. Besides, knowledge was not done away with when the scriptures were complete. In fact, knowledge increased. So, what do I think about gifts? First, I believe that they are real and still in operation today and much needed in the church. Then, I believe all of these lists are part of a whole, given ad hoc to make a point. Paul is saying, for example, there are such and such gifts. None of the individual lists are meant to be exhaustive or all-inclusive or exclusive of one another. In each letter, Paul was making the point that there are different members of one body, each part of a whole. He wasn't trying to sell a package. According to the text I have quoted, I believe the following. I believe that the gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit as He wills. They are His choice, not ours. I believe each member of the body of Christ has a gift. I believe each one is important to the whole body. I believe they are a result of grace, not based on merit. I believe it requires faith to operate in each gift. I believe they are to be used in love. I believe they are to be used in an orderly way, producing peace, not conflict. I believe they are given for the common good, promoting unity, not division. I believe they are given for ministry. I believe they are given to edify the church. I believe we should seek the giver, not the gift. Next week, we will look at the individual gifts from these texts in order to gain better understanding of each one. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would stir up the gifts in us. Holy Spirit, teach us what we need to understand. Let the body of Christ be unified and edified in Jesus' name.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.